It is now time for Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme with the host, Sluggy Don. Good evening, Sluggy Don.
Manners, and respect. VOB 92.9 FN, the nation's number one station. And listen to me, callers. Today, the rain is falling. We're getting nice weather. The plants are growing. The crops are being fed. We're going to play some old, Nifka performances. Are you laying up some old Nifka performances? We're going to play some old Nifka performances. Give a big salute to Nifka. And I want to hear from you all your favorite Bayesian memories, period. I don't care if it's from Christmas, if it's from Independence, if it's from Cropover, if it's from some activities you had in your community, if it's from used to be going to your primary school fair, church picnic. I don't care what it is. I want to hear your Bayesian, your favorite Bayesian memories. I want you to share them with us this evening. 434-1790. Are you ready to give them first piece of a Nifka performances? Salute to Nifka. This year I'm a Nifka ambassador as well. So I'm pushing Nifka love to see the young ones that expressing themselves creatively in the various art forms. I love to see it. Are you ready?
You're gonna give me a few minutes, Sluggy. I'm gonna give you something locally for sure. But you know,
easy. 434-1790. I want to hear your favorite Bayesian memories. 434-1790.
Always done before. You do, yeah.
From Shirley Stewart, 1984. As per the request of Sluggy, we're going straight to NIFCA. 2003 was the year. St. Martin's Mangrove Primary School with What About the Children?
And all of this happens because the world is waiting. Waiting for one child. Black, white, yellow, no one knows. But a child that would grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, and everyone to everyone's neighbor, misery and suffering would be forgotten forever.
This comes to pass when a child is born.
Church and the school. that, cause those fathers ain't got no bone in their back. Picanini.
the way it should go. And when it gets old, it shall not depart from it.
A performance entitled What About the Children, performed by the St. Martins, Mangrove Primary School, as we go back to Sluggy Dan.
St. Martins, Mangrove Primary School, the year 2003. That was 20 years ago. NIFCA is now celebrating their 50th year, 50 years of the NIFCA celebration, and want to encourage everyone to follow the NCF platforms, follow all the platforms of the National Cultural Foundation, and stay tuned in. This year we're celebrating 50 years, and I want to encourage you to go and see the various performances. They've got culinary art, got visionary art, they have musical performances, they have art and design, they have literary art as well. So you want to go there and support. Follow the NCF on all their platforms. Also look in your local news as well, and for all the information, or visit the NCF website for all the information and keep up to date with NIFCA. I think NIFCA is extremely important, especially if we get all the communities out next year. I want to see even more communities out this year. I'm pleased to see the amount of different persons and community groups coming and being involved. That's what we absolutely love to see. And this year and today, 434-1790. You can call and tell me about your favorite Beijing memories. You know, one of my favorite Beijing memories is watching TV and seeing the different folk groups performing the folk songs. You know, whether it could be Ellis the Folk Chorale or Sing Out Barbados. You know, Mystic. And say, I want to say rest in peace to Mystic. He's a party as the Fort Corral. Shout outs to Mystic, who also a finalist, also taught at the Combermere Secondary School. So I want to say a rest in peace to the Mystic today. Good friend of mine. So shout outs to you, Mr. Mystic. 434-1790, one of your favorite Beijing memories. I want to hear your favorite Beijing memories. 434-1790. Let's me hear some of your favorite Beijing memories. I used to like to watch the TV and see different folk groups and folk chorales singing and performing. I used to love to see Beijing bus stop where you could see Beijing actors on screen. I mean, some of my favorite Beijing memories for sure. I used to love school fairs. I remember that one time we had school fairs galore. I remember one time, because the Dion locked on as well. Dion, keep it locked, baby girl. You know, I love you. Manners and respect. You know, one of the members one thing used to have school fairs galore. Lots of schools, primary secondary schools used to have fairs. But you truly used to get to go enjoy Lucky Dip. Different things. You don't see many school fairs these years. And remember last day, see Trinity had a Lucky Dip. You know, things certainly have changed. That was some of my favorite Beijing memories, but I want to hear some of yours. 434-1790. I have my buddy Orlando on the inside with me today. Orlando, you have any favorite Beijing memories? The short time you spent here in Barbados, you have any favorite Beijing memories that you could take back? Or you used to love to do that in Barbados?
Of course.
Yes.
I used to live in Enterprise Christchurch before I moved to England, and I remember. Today's a good memory of that with a storm that came by. I used to grab my surfboard and ran to the beach in South Point and surf, waiting for the waves. This is one of my, today was a flashback looking at the waves when I was driving past Miami Beach this morning, seeing all the waves and stuff like that. It's definitely you know, it took me back to those days when I was a kid, and my mom would be like very afraid, saying not to leave the house, I'm crazy, and we all, me and my friends, would be running, going down to the beach to surf. Definitely is one of my most prominent memories.
Nice. No, what got you into surfing? Was that a Christchurch thing? Really, a lot of Christian people into surfing and stuff. Was it because you raised up near the beach or near where surfing used to be? What got you into surfing in Barbados?
I think it's a Christchurch thing. I think mm-hmm. People in Christchurch they do surf. I was introduced to it through boogie boarding in Miami Beach, because they used to rent boogie boards back then, and started off boogie boarding, and I loved it. I just loved the water. I'd be in the, come home from school, take my school uniform off, and the first thing I'd be on my bicycle, and the first thing I'll be down at the beach every day, you know. So that was my to-do thing, and I loved it. You know, roasting breadfruit on the beach. I don't know if they still do that anymore. Get some breadfruit.
Oh yes, they do.
Yeah. So all this, take some butter with me, roast some breadfruit. We go night fishing off the rocks. Probably go down on the, where in Oystings, where the fish market is, on the pier. And we go night fishing down there as well. So yeah, because we live so close to the beach, it's definitely a thing that a lot of young people back when I was young would be doing. The ocean was like, you know, our second home. That's where we would be.
Well, nice. We got Mr. Eastman in on Instagram. Randy himself for one of his favorite Virgin memories. Oh yes, that was a good one. Orlando, we come back, we can get something. But we got a call on the line. And thanks for the call, people. 434-1790. 434-1790. I don't care what it is. Call in and share some of your favorite Virgin memories. I have so many. I know, going back in my brain to think of some, you know, some Calv Keys used to be some, you know, oh my God, different things, eventually police, so many different things with Virgin memories. But we can take a call now and hear one of these favorite Virgin memories. Good evening and welcome to Virgin Rhythm and Rhyme. We have Orlando Clement, you know, he's a Virgin head teacher in London. We have Mr. Eastman, who's an educator and a musician and a producer. Welcome to Virgin Rhythm and Rhyme. Please share your favorite Virgin memory with us.
Yes, thank you. Wonderful and blessed evening, great and blessed evening. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm fantastic, my brother. Thank you.
That's great to hear. Well, yes, I'm fantastic as well. Well, I want to thank the production team for taking my call, and thanks for everything, Sluggy Dan. You know, you got to keep the memories up. And, well, there was a song about memories, but my favorite, I actually have two favorite, but my number one all time is when it was, well, I remember there was a diplomat that came in from the States to see my mom, and he took me out a weekend, and we went before where Brandon's is now. They have their wonderful water park. But before that, there was the one on Bay Street, and we spent the day, and then I had something to eat. I had some chicken and chips. Then I had, and then we finished the day together doing some great, you know, like father-son activities.
So you said the water park, where? The water park used to be where?
No, Bay Street. This is going out to men fish. Yeah. So
Do you remember what year? Remember what year this was?
This was around, say, when I was in primary school, about class 2, 1998, 2000, anywhere around there. When my next memory, I had some surgery that I had to do in terms of on my body. And after he spent the day with me, and, you know, it was a wonderful time where, you know, he invited me for the first time to accept the Lord, because he was a Christian. He was a diplomat, an American diplomat, yes, driving a CD car. But he invited me to be a Christian, and he also invited
you
me.
Were, well, that time you were not a Christian as yet?
No, I wasn't a Christian as yet. No, I wasn't there, so I was just doing whatever. I had the spiritual growing as yet, sorry for that. But he took away my naivety, though, in terms of the fact that, you know, it's so good that, you know, you could have these people coming from around the world. Because he's actually right now, he's a pilot, and he met us like a couple years back, right before COVID. And he went back up to America, and he has a son called Hunter. His name was Ben. I could call him because I know he would allow me. A great friend, a great man, and these times are, these vibes, as we call them now, these revolutions, these revs are so good in life, because if not for him, I will not, my mother and I will not have accepted the Lord. And then he...
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That. I mentioned my second memory. When I would have gone my surgery, and I spent a term home from school, but still came back to pass for Common Mare School. And I was so thankful for that. I thank the Lord for you know, he took me out to the school, to the education system. You know, the education system now is a lot more great memories for the children of this time. But the children of the last generation, which was me coming up, you know, I was able then to pass for Common Mare. And that was very special for me. It was really my most memorable moment in terms of a critical and crucial care of where my life was going at the time. And, you know, in my formative years, being so formed as to have that up and on, you know, we all know the Common Mare spirit. People say you're brainwashed, but it's not that. It's just that they love one another and that they're able then to have great memories. So that was my memory.
No, like, I remember when... Uh-huh. I remember when missionaries used to come to Barbados, yeah, a lot. Used to come to primary schools and secondary schools a lot. That's a that's a good basic memory. Remember somebody used to work with the
Thank you.
Thanks Cog, big it yourself. Thanks Ollie. People, that was DJ Cog. Pardon me? He there still? Ollie, are you gone?
No, Sluggy, he's gone.
Oh, cool. That was DJ Cog sharing some dance memories. Remember when he said at the water park on Bay Street, he said around 2008 to 2000. I remember that time. Remember when they started missionaries coming to Barbados? He got to meet one of the missionaries in Barbados, you know, doing the good work. And they were able to convince him and his mom to give their life to the Lord. And as we all know, Cog stands for Kingdom of God. Cog is still a Christian to this day. So that's a good memory. That bring back a memory for me when I was in primary school. We had this club named the ISCF. ISCF is a whole, like a little session thing every Monday evening or so. But one day a week, we used to get to hear about the Bible, hear Bible stories, and then sing enough church songs. That was the primary school, that Sharon primary school. That was a really good memory. Cog, thanks for talking about my brand there. 434-1790, I want to hear your favorite memories growing up in Barbados, coming in Barbados. Want to hear your favorite memories growing up, coming in Barbados. That was a good one from Cog Orlando. Shared with us how dangerous he used to live. I know if you want to share this story with his students, you know, bad weather coming, and he relishing in the fact that bad weather is coming so he could get the surf. I could only imagine the heartache used to cause you, mom. You're hearing everybody just standing indoors, and you're saying, what? That's sweet outdoors for me. And you say for you, that's a normal thing. Yes. Growing up in Christchurch, for you, that's a normal thing. Growing up near the beach, that's a normal thing for you to go surfing outside choppy.
Yeah, and you used to do lots of silly things when you're young, isn't it? And you don't realize how dangerous it is until you get a bit older, yeah. Then you realize, hey,
well, you know, the joys of being young.
Oh yes. I want to hear Randy's
Randy memories. Randy, the ones that I could talk on radio.
You know,
you hardest ones. No, you boys be hardest. They want to hear when you And he used to
Mr. Watson. All of my memories can be spoken of on radio.
Nice.
There are so many memories. I think one of the fondest would have been
he was in a lot of things with the Cub Scouts.
It was in Cub Scouts too. Crop over there, going to Black Rock with my mom and my grand, and just seeing the festivities and how people.
As a child?
Yeah.
You know, you never see that live as a child.
Yeah, going down there and just seeing people, you know, packing their lunches. Even that experience of my grandma and my mom packing their lunches, or packing food rather, for the day, You go there, got the food in the car, you know. Then somebody, a family member would come, or somebody you know pass by, you say, you want to play it? You know? Just that camaraderie and Bajan excellence, as you would call it, so that culture of sharing and the community raising each other and, you know, raising the family as such, and learning culture from such a young age, you know. Other memories that come to mind, I got a baby at Cog, the Commonmere one. But I ain't gonna expose on that one. I think being a member of the Barbados Cadet Corps.
Somebody's scrubbing in the background.
Being on parade at the Garrison Savannah, both as a drum major and as a sergeant major, and reflecting on what independence would mean to me as a schoolboy at that time, you know, and picture yourself in shoes of someone all that late in 1966, you know, having that experience and really reflecting on what independence really means to you as a Barbadian, and that whole process of becoming independent in that time. That was a great Barbadian memory
for me. You remember coming out as a youngster, you remember seeing the Independence Parade and then being a part of it? You remember how different that was?
A part of it. Yeah, correct. Same as being an entertainer, seeing people on stage. And
Someone's scrubbing the background. Someone's scrubbing the background.
I got something happening in the background. Same thing as entertainers, same thing with cadets as well. You know, seeing people on stage and telling them one of these days they can be on that stage, you know. And then it coming to pass. So the Independence Parade was nostalgic.
I remember, I guess it's something Orlando could speak about as well as you know, as part of what he's doing now and then you. But I remember, right, Orlando and Randy, you remember coming up now and seeing the parade and then being a part of it. So I remember the day, but I remember like the 2-3 months coming up to the day. So like on the evening, now we decide, well, every evening for at least 2 hours, I thought like 3 months before, that's practicing this thing. But in very small stages, Randy, as you will know, as you the master lead parades for your cadet corps or whatever, right? You would know, like, in very small stages. So today we might just practice turns. Might seem like such a small thing, but we spend 2 hours only practicing turns. And then the next day we might practice slower march, going into quick march, going into slow march. It's not this small section, you know. And then, you know, you break it down in weeks, as you would know. And then you're practicing among yourself, as in combat mirror practicing one, or you got your cadet band practice by themselves, and then everybody come together and practice.
Yep.
So I mean, like, then stages blew my mind completely. Right. And then being serious, because I do it, like, I started when it's probably 1917. Right, you would have started younger than 17, obviously, right? But let me tell myself that if it didn't even have to be this parade specifically, but if I was doing something like this, let me say from like 8, 9, 10, my mind would be so much different, because it teach me how important these little things is if you want to really get good. And then for personally too, because the first really do it to myself, it could have been better, you know. You know what I mean? So I realized, you see me when it was that drill rehearsal, I didn't really pay attention to my slow march, not landing on my heel, making sure I landed on the side of my foot and glide and sliding like this, like right. So you see now, because when you watch it now, you can see how different you look to everybody. The average person, they can see it, Randy, but you know who went through it, they can see it. Everybody's seeing that, all we look seeing, but I could tell me. And then everybody that is part of it, that everybody that's trained, everybody that's skilled, you know what to look for, really realizing, geez, on brace, like, man, you mean you a little old.
Yeah.
Orlando, analysis. Right, so I want you to speak first, Ronnie, then Orlando. I want you to speak why these small steps is be so important.
9 minutes after 7 o'clock, as we return to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme with the host, Sluggy Dan.
Well, thank you. And Orlando, I'll go in a minute. Orlando, sorry, let me bring you Barbados. Let me bring you Barbados for the rain to stick you up. Orlando, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You are currently in Waterbrook?
Yeah. I was driving back and
down the road, and it looks like a little bit of water. As I started going through, I realized very quickly it was deeper than I thought. The car started to float, and it died. I had to climb out the window of the car. I was over my knee in water, and I had to push a floating car out of the water. So the car is dead. I'm on the side of the street with my laptop. So
I can't believe this is absolutely crazy. People, Orlando, this is not the same for a movie. Like only on the 2.9 FM Barbados, Orlando Clement is on the side of the road after not moving his floating car on his laptop live on radio. Did you manage to call
using
someone?
My phone data, so that's how I got online.
So someone
is someone coming?
No, someone is on their way.
You are alone?
Yeah, someone is on their way. Hence the reason why I'm alone at the minute, but someone is on their way. That's why I said I might have to leave the show in a minute. I'm terribly sorry for that, but
no apologies needed. I hope you're not in the dark.
No, I'm not in the dark. Don't worry, I'm not in the dark. I'm in a safe place.
Or make you come to the person come, and we must tell that person thank you as soon as that person come. I can't believe you are this is the craziest thing ever here live on radio.
It's been a crazy day.
And thankfully these shows are recorded and placed on our online audio podcast. You have to let your students in London hear today's show. Because if you tell them, they're not going to believe it.
No, they won't.
Randy, this is the story. Nobody will believe this. This is what is called dedication at a different level, Randy.
That's the kind of day he is.
Yeah, I couldn't let the show down. I couldn't let you down, Sluggy. So I'm committed.
That's
a
problem. In school, Orlando, were you part of any groups like cadets, scouts, whatever, clubs, bands, whatever? Were you part of any groups in school that helped towards your development?
Yeah, I was involved in the cadets for a while, although I was a bit naughty and I always got into trouble. I was in cadets for a while, and that really helped me to, looking back at it now, I realized that disciplined and, everything else that came with it, really, supported me in who the person I am today. I remember being drilled and going on these camps on the beach where you go, where they take you out and you go camping on the beach, and you have to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. My ride is here, by the way, to take me back. So
well, good. Tell him thank you first.
Okay, I will
tell him thank you first, and don't worry, when you go back to London, you'll join on.
And if you need any help, I'll come get you as well.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Randy. Thank you.
I'll call you shortly.
Thank you, Barbados. See you.
Yes, to lose Orlando Clement people, they're gonna be hearing lots more of him. We got a group that we're gonna be taking to London next year again, to Orlando. And gonna try to visit Orlando at the end of the year as well and talk some more business as well, so we could keep doing these exchange programs so that we can make the world a little bit smaller for the next generation, create that cultural exchange. Ryan, do you think because of my bias, because of the structure you had, you think that is important, whether it's cadets, Cub Scouts, Adventure Club, whatever, you think it's important to have these various groups that especially focus on discipline? You think it's important that all children at some point in their life go through some sort of structure in a group?
I absolutely support that. I think you're being a living example, even though, and Orlando was just a living example of that, because it provides so much scope and opportunity for use of your intuition and initiative. So in Orlando's case, him taking the initiative to still try to get on the show, some people probably would give up. But in cadets, we are taught to have that determination, that horatio, And I'm sure that his reasoning was, you know, as he said, he doesn't want to disappoint you. So he was able to find a way to make it happen. In your case now, you would have planned for two guests for the entire show. And now you're forced to pivot and still continuing the show, right? So with cadets and scouts and those extracurricular activities, that discipline, that extra thinking, the need for that, I think is imperative for all young people to be a part of any type of organization whatsoever. To this day, there are things that I learned in cadets that are still a part of me. Can't get it taken out of the psyche. It's like you will complain about a lot of things because of that attention to detail and, you know, laying out things in particular order, etc. And I'm very happy about it. You know, some people may not like it, but I enjoy having that level of structure in my life. Yes, you must be able to have freedom and be able to pivot on a dime, but I think the structure provides a necessary route for how you move forward as a human being in this world, in this society.
You remember how young you were when you do your first exchange, whether it's overseas children coming here, whether it's you going overseas, for whatever reason, you remember your first cultural exchange, and how was it, and how did it change your mind?
Would have been with cadets as well, I believe, at age either 12 or 13. I think we'd have had interactions with cadets from other territories, hearing their stories about how they did things, not only in their personal lives, but as cadets as well. I think one of the most shocking stories we've heard was the cadets from St. Vincent and the level of responsibility they had at age 16 or 17, where senior NCOs pretty much work alongside the police force at the time, they were telling us. Then their code of dress within the Corps. Of course, what one of the things that intrigued me and still intrigues me to this day would be the accents. It's like you and I have had that chat about accents and how accents could influence music and culture. How people write songs or how they sing particular songs in the Caribbean genres. So that was something that was intriguing from a very, very early start. Their foods, even at that young age, you know, when they would have been talking about the type of foods that they're accustomed to eating or getting at a particular time, and just wanting to know how this thing tastes, like what are they really talking about? So it then correlated to, you know, being an adult and having the opportunity to then travel to those islands and experiencing the food and the delicacies that they would have spoken about at that age. So that's it from my perspective. That was my first experience with other persons from other territories. And of course, as you grew older, many other exchanges that we've been involved with as a cultural youth ambassador, etc., going to many countries.
Yeah.
Over the time.
Nice. So what areas would you see as an adult now, having going through that as a child, and then getting to an adult now where you're in leadership positions, managerial positions, and then as an educator too? How does cultural exchanges help our children? And why should we be doing them? Because, you know, in these times, some moments here, they're really expensive, where you could just go for a UG life and done. You know what I mean? The arguments that I might come for. But me, no, I could tell the experience because I just took 10 children and I could see, you know, all know from them still being a part of our programs. You know, I could see the change in this particular group. Right. But obviously, a person that you know, be able to articulate why that change happened. So for the persons that might see Randy, where you want to carry these 20 children next year with you to London for, you know what I mean? You could just do it for IG. What ways does it help creating these exchanges? What ways does it help our youth in their development, if it helps at all?
There's so many answers to that question, Sluggy. I don't know where you pose these monstrosity of questions to me. I think... Right. Initially, we want to say, similar to how in music we have music appreciation, I think exchanges like that provide cultural appreciation for the young mind, where you may be exposed at a particular level to your home environment, house, community, etc. and you have an appreciation for people at their level, at that particular level, for what they accept, what the societal norms, what the societal standards.
But then societal the norms, boy, that one. Right,
the cultural exchanges then expands the mind, to see that a new country, a new community, a completely different region.
I like that. Learning new normals.
May not accept or may accept things that, you know, you see differently in your particular environment.
Yeah.
That here may not be accepted, but what is not accepted here may also be accepted overseas. My time living in England, I had to adjust to a lot of things, you know, stepping on the bus and saying good morning, and everyone looking at me like, you're doing, where are you doing that? So I think at a young age, exposure to new cultures presents a level of appreciation. I think it expands communication as well, because you're forced to find a level of communication that everybody understands. You and I can sit down and have a conversation in pure Beijing dialect because no one else is around. But if you consider the fact that other people may not understand our dialect, you then have to find a way to communicate, because communication is only effective if the receiver understands what is being transmitted. Right? So I think it brings a level of effective communication to the fore for young people. It may be confusing at first because it's same, but like talking how you normally talk. Like, well, you can't understand me. You know, then the person might say, your Beijing dialect is too fast for me to understand. And then challenges you then to, you know, adjust and pivot in that way. Similar to taste with foods, what we like, they may not like. So I think general appreciation and cultural appreciation, as I termed it, would be one key thing.
Cultural appreciation. Boy, you know, put so many ideas in my head for so many different projects, especially when you break it down. You call communication to be a real big thing.
Oh, yeah. Communication is something that we as a society lack tremendously.
Face-to-face is so different. Don't matter how you talk online, even if you're somebody online or IG Live or Facebook Live, one of the platforms live, being face-to-face and communicating every day in a different country, Randy, is something different to see the children that experience. And that's it. I know Watson, I wasn't even cognizant of that until when you said it just now. You know, ring off in the bell, you know, Sky, who's a fantastic singer, these different young children that meet, you know, ring off in the bell. Maybe he was at the museum, maybe he's in the church, and then he was at the amusement park. Hope then was speaking to the different people that was controlling things. It just ring my mind some of the struggles some children have, and then some children that was able to communicate effectively. I wasn't studying it until you don't mention it. It's saying that's a good point.
When you compare a child at 5 years old in Barbados to a child at 5 years old in England, I don't think the difference is intellect, because intellect isn't determined by geographical position. Right? Mm-hmm. I think the difference is quality conversation and exposure to quality conversation. Those children are able to converse and confabulate with you at a different level to some.
Yeah, intelligence is, you're right, intelligence is just the way they communicate. The
right.
Yeah, you're right. They may talk about, not may, they do talk about many more things.
Yeah. Because of the exposure, you know.
You're right.
Was at the same level, the level of conversation will be the same. So that's why it's important.
Yeah, you're correct.
Parents here who do a fantastic job and ensuring that children are exposed to tremendous or a lot of activities, a lot of varying topics, topics with depth, topics with a lot of information and girth that they're able to process and ask questions. One of those would have been the young gentleman, Dominie. I don't remember the name of the school, but he was featured at the Education Transformation launch. He was also featured at the launch of, I think, one of the NTIE initiatives with the Ministry of Education. And he was an amazing conversationalist. I think he's only like 9 or 10 years old. You know, and the kind of questions that he posed, and how he made his points and the correlations that he was able to make at 9 years old was truly amazing.
No, you're right, and it only drives 20 point more.
why these things are important. Remember hearing the Prime Minister saying she want she will like children, especially children that may never ever get to travel, at risk you from at risk communities and so on, to get that experience to travel, even if it's only once. And she, you know, and then a lot of people's asking why. And then the National Peace Program, we got a program named New Horizons Youth Portal. But then seeing the children when they come back, and then hearing you as an educator explaining why it changes how the children see things, it making me see it. No, it making me, who's a part of it, understand even better that ain't just a trip, Randy. You get me? Ain't just getting away for fun now. Ain't just it is so much. Know that you break it down. Because it only remembered, like I told the church, the museum and the amusement park, I only remember the three specific spots. But you know, talk about communication, because the children was talking with themselves, talking with other children that are from London. So, you know, obviously the young children here, going places where they're meeting enough children. So when they were talking, you know, or watching how they were talking to children, where they were talking about, when you speak about the intelligence level and so on, that ring off a bell, like, it was so right. The intelligence level is the same, just that children over there might talk about saying different. They might talk about how to create different plants, how to tattoo plants and make a different plant. You know, like saying that you might not normally hear your children and barbers talk about. So you understand it, like, you get with me, right? Like, little things like that. It's just, so it's just different conversations.
Yep.
So when you take children on these experiences, and just that way you're saying, and just a trip, and just playing.
I remember my mom was adamant about ensuring that I was exposed to traveling, even though,
yeah,
you know, I traveled, I guess, late as compared to some other students. I was about, I think, 14 when I had my first trip. But I remember from the time you walk out the airport and see that aircraft, my mind was going. I was like, what is this? This big piece of metal, this big piece of metal getting up in the sky. You know, and you start to think about things that you would learn at school, physics and all the different subjects that would have played. And you say, okay, that kind of makes sense. All right, so this is why this will happen. And then when you see the country as we leave and entering the new country, all the questions and then the different cultures, why the different languages, why is every country, every person, every country sounds different, you know, what causes that? It really had my mind ticking, you know.
Yeah.
Clothing. I remember going to St. Lucia. I was about 16, I think, about my dad and my brother. And at that time, Timberlands was the thing here in Barbados, right? So I go on to St. Lucia, I go on my jeans and Timberlands, and we going out with my dad, and my brother dressed the same way, you know, and these days, don't they? Was like, what are you going, boy? You know, they're questioning, what's the whole you dress, you know?
Rain wear boots.
Yeah, right, because it was trendy here at that time. You know what, St. Lucia's culture was different. At that time, I think the dress was more like a loose slacks and sneakers, right? So completely different culture, because we had that American influence from hip hop at that time was really bumping. You know,
yeah. And that was New York. And that was New York too, specifically was, yeah. New York.
Yeah.
Timberland style.
So,
no, it's interesting. It's interesting. That made me see my mind even more where we need to do programs here. And we need to connect with people from other parts of the world who are also doing programs targeted against the youth and connect those youth together. I believe that those type of youth could really change the world. And from listening to you, I understand how important it is to expose children at a young age to different cultures and having those different experiences, because it helps improve the level of conversation and the level of communication and the things that you do communicate about, expand knowledge. And then you saw things that help to explain things that you might have learned in school. So that's another way how important. And also makes a child more rounded. So ain't just a trick. So I totally support these cultural exchanges. You'll be 92.9 FM, Pigeon, Rhythm and Rhyme every single Saturday, 6:30 PM. Every single Saturday, 6:30 PM. So in schools, Randy, in schools, what can we do to push the culture more in school? What can we use? Can we use all the arts?
And if so, how can we use all the arts to push culture much more in school? Because I want to see basic culture popular still. You know what I mean? I want to see how I want to see a point where a quantum production shirt or a Bim Got Talent shirt, people will feel good to wear that. How they will feel good to wear Nike. I want to see how people will support a Mylon Clark like a Kenny G. You know what I mean? Or a Chief Thing like a Bounty Killer. So what can we do to push culture more in schools?
Sluggy, you got to interrupt because it's now 29 minutes before 8 o'clock. You got about 4 minutes left, so I guess you can look to get the last comment from Mr. Eastman and yourself and wrap up the show.
No, you need to comment from myself. We've got more than enough time to give Randy time to answer that. I need the answer from Randy. The listeners can hear me another time. But Randy, I hand it over to you. I want to hear what can we do more in schools to push Barbadian culture. What can we use? Different art forms we can use and how can we use them?
I think we are already doing it, to be honest. And kudos to all the educators out there. There are many teachers who are utilizing culture in what they do. But specifically what you asked, where we utilize techniques like cross-curricular learning, where math is not just on the board learning, science isn't just on the board learning. You tie those things into the culture. Additionally, I think you've already answered this question several times. You are the person who coined the phrase, what do you call it? Cultural imperialism, and breaking the bonds of that. And up to this morning, Dr. Denise Charles and I were discussing an idea that she had about disruptive thinking, you know, breaking the norms, breaking the regular narrative, thinking outside the box, and really allowing Barbadians to realize that we are a part of the world. And that's something that I hear Matt Fingal say all the time. If we have the best saxophonist, he's the best saxophonist in the world, not just in Barbados. We got Suki King. He's the best draft player in the world, right? Not in Barbados. So we have to get that as a norm so that people can realize we have what it takes to be the best in the world. And then we are able to have a Mylon Clark, a Bim Got Talent, as you say, and we can wear those brands. These brands represent an international brand and not a local brand where we degrade the quality of the brand by saying local. Local is just a terminology, yes, but I think sometimes people look down on that word local. And again, I think we just need to break the norms. Break the norms, break the cultural norms, and acknowledge our own as being superior. As good as, or even better than, those things that we look up to from the outside world.
Nice, love it, absolutely love it, Barbados. We got work to do. I know the powers that be listening. This is VOB 92.9, the nation's number one station. So we know, like, they still who have ears to hear, let them hear, and they love the solutions we are bringing. We're going to continue these conversations a lot more. Randy, thank you very much for passing through the show today. Thanks a lot, my brother.
Ollie. Anything, my brother. Anything.
Yeah. Ollie, thank you very much, my brother. It's over to you. Enjoy the rest of your night. And peoples, keep it locked to VOB 92.9 FM. This is your boy, Uncle Sluggy, and I'm out.